The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
And it's the Pat Kenny Show with Anton Savage in for Pat. If you have found yourself the victim of a phone or text or email scam in recent months, you are not alone, because during the COVID pandemic, those kind of scams, by some reports, increased fourfold. On top of that, a recent EU survey found that Irish people are the second most likely citizens of all member states to be victims of fraudulent phone calls. To discuss this, I'm joined by Paul Dwyer, who is CEO of Cyber Risk International. Morning, Paul.
Morning, Anton.
Why have the level of scams increased so much in recent months?
Well, there's a couple of factors involved in this, Anton. One of them is the fact that our data is effectively leaking out everywhere. If you think of even mobile phone numbers now going into restaurants, going into any sort of establishments, and people are calling out their mobile phone numbers, they're calling out their personal identifiable information, their name, their phone number, and so on. But also the large scale data breaches, such as, for example, the HSE, those kind of things have meant that that kind of data is now for sale to many different criminal groups all over the world, and therefore is being used by them to perpetrate different kinds of scams.
And what is it when the scammers get in touch that they're ultimately looking for? Because in some instances, the you may know it's a scam, but it's hard to read between the lines and see what is it that they're trying to get out of me here.
Yeah, so normally what they're trying to get at the end of the day is money from you or more data so they can sell that data to somebody else. So in the case of most of the sort of entry-level scammers, if you like, they employ techniques that we often call spray and pray. In other words, they spray out millions and millions of text messages, millions and millions of emails, and they pray that someone's going to click on them, engage. And then they try to get you to do something, to dial one or to click on a link, and then they have you, because then that you've either dialed a premium rate number and they've got some money off your account and a bill has come your way, or they've got you to install something, a piece of malware, onto your device, whether it's a phone, laptop, tablet, whatever it happens to be. And then they have full control of you. They could turn on the camera, they could turn on the microphone, they can go through your private photos, they can do anything they want there. And it's that data is sold on the digital underground, this underground economy that cyber criminals use. And there's almost like a stock exchange there where it has different prices and different values depending on the kind of data.
So the data itself is of as much value, or is at least of some value, not just getting cash out of your account?
Data is the new cash, Anton. I mean, they can steal your data and you don't know they've taken it. If they've taken your money, you notice the money's gone. If they take your data, they can sell it multiple times. And it's just like, fruit down on Moore Street. If it goes off and it's stale, it's not worth as much. But when it's fresh and you don't know it's been stolen, it's worth even more to these criminals.
Are there any particular scams that are particularly effective? Because in some instances, that there's reports of people calling from numbers that look like almost your own number as it comes in. There's texts coming in a text conversation that previously would have been from a reputable organization that they managed to interpose themselves into. Which are the ones of those that are most effective?
The most effective ones tend to be the ones that have a little bit of a social engineering hook. So by that I mean that if they have a tiny piece of detail in the SMS message or in the email that you instantly see and go, wow. And I'll give you an example of one. There's lots of times big organizations, their databases have been compromised and the password's in there. And then you may receive an email saying, Anton, we're aware that you're on certain websites. Here's your password. We know it's you. We have videos of you, everything else, click here, or it's something's going to happen to you, we're going to blackmail you, whatever. Those kind of things have all the elements. They have a piece of information that only was known to you, your password. You think it's real because it's coming in from somebody. You're frightened. There's an immediacy to it that they want you to feel that if you don't act now, you're going to lose out. You're going to be in some sort of peril. They're highly, highly effective.
The thing is, though, in some instances, it can be very difficult to get help, because I had one of these a number of months ago where it was the one that was going around because everybody was in lockdown. And it was a text that said, delivery on the way, send us your air code. And I, like a Wally, sent my air code and then thought, hang on a minute. But the only recourse you have is to ring delivery companies and say, is this actually one of your drivers? And to say that they didn't fall over themselves to be helpful was an understatement. So what do you do in that kind of setting?
I mean, look, there needs to be more of a cohesive, holistic approach to this between all of the parties involved. It's a sort of a community problem. It's a bit like COVID, where we all have to play our part and upper game in relation to hygiene. We have to do the same in relation to cyber hygiene. So all of the key stakeholders here, whether it's delivery companies, telcos, the banks, everybody who's involved in this, all have to define and agree a protocol, including with An Garda Síochána, who are doing their best, but everybody's doing a little bit of effort on the side. And everybody has become tired of it, that it's just, there's so many of them and it's just nonstop, even individuals. So there's not one piece of advice you can give somebody and say, hey, do the following and everything's going to be okay. This boils down to essentially three things. I often refer to the three E's from road safety, which is education. So we all need to know a little bit more about this and how to stay safe online and what not to click on, all that good stuff. But there has to be engineering. There are technical solutions out there that can be used by telcos that can protect us even more. But it's not all on the telcos. It's not all on the mobile telephone companies or the internet service providers. And finally, there's enforcement. And guards are doing great work in this area. They're going after them. And, you know, but they need people to report this. So we shouldn't get tired of reporting these things, because the more information and data and intel the guards have, the more resources they can get to deal with this. But if nobody was reporting crime anymore, you know, where would the budgets go? So we all have to sort of act upon this. And we've seen what happened in the United States. They've implemented some new technology there. Fraud is down 5% month on month in this area. So the technical solutions work very well.
Paul, you say that the Gardaí are pursuing them. Who's them? Is this random individuals with cell phones or mobile phones, or is this an industrial operation in this country or in another?
That's a brilliant question, because it's actually a bit of both. I mean, what you've got is the entry level area into the world of cybercrime. It's just so easy to get involved in. There's no violence required. There's no real risk of getting caught in attribution facing courts. So they tend to groom and attract people to come into this industry of cybercrime, because at one stage they're going to make money out of them. So it's a very open industry, cybercrime. So whether you're on YouTube or even on Google, you will find entry level into being trained to being a cybercriminal. But then what you have the OCGs, the organized criminal groups, and they are the cartels, they are the guys who are doing drug trafficking, everything. But this has surpassed drug trafficking as the number one crime. Cybercrime is a $6 trillion economy. It is absolutely huge. So all of the criminal areas have moved into that, because they know it's not just, you know, getting somebody to click on a premium call. It's extortion. It's insider trading information. It's everything. And one of the impacts of COVID that we all had to face is that when COVID hit us all, we all reacted differently. We all said, well, we have to work from home, or we have to use video conferencing. And it was about keeping the show on the road. But the net effect of that now is that that left an opportunity, as people were working from home, discombobulated, distracted by kids, dogs, whatever around. And that made it easier for them to be falling for these kind of scams. And these guys don't just play the short game where they want to, you know, rob you pretty quickly. They'll play the long game. And sometimes they'll take months and years to infiltrate a system so that they can parasitically take the data and information from that, because they're after seven-figure heists. These OCG groups are not interested in 50 grand or 100 grand. It's all million dollars plus. That's what they're after.
And do they get that kind of numbers from some of the heists?
Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%. I mean, a lot of even the invoice fraud scams we see where somebody pretends to be somebody else to get an invoice paid, they'll target certain industries, for example, aviation leasing. They'll go after them because they know there's a small number of high value transactions. And if they can circumvent that communications link, they can get paid millions of dollars on a fraudulent payout. And they're successful. That's why they keep doing it. I mean, why do we still get spam? Because it works. When you look at spam, Anton, and you look at maybe an average cyber criminal might send out 50 million spam messages a day. That person only needs one in a million to click on it. Average click through, maybe they get $200. And you work out the maths on that, they're making over $1 million a year by sending out those emails.
Paul, thank you very much. That's Paul Dwyer, who is Chief Executive Officer of Cyber Risk International.